Okay, just four brief points I want to make. The first is the funeral of Leonard Snee, I understand, is taking place in Napier on Wednesday. It's my intention to go to the funeral and attend the funeral and to pay my respects. I understand there'll be a number of ministers attending, obviously Judith Collins, but also Peter Sharples will also be there. Secondly, from the 13th to the 19th of May, the Tongan Prime Minister, Fred Savalli, will be in New Zealand. I'll be hosting him. The other thing I just want to comment on is in relation to Waterview. The Minister of Transport will be making an announcement in relation to Waterview tomorrow, and then the Transport Authority will be making an announcement in relation to Waterview on Wednesday. And the last point I really want to make is just in relation to a press release released a few moments ago, if you haven't seen it. The government is supporting a $208 million upgrade to Middlemore Hospital. Be funded $100 million worth of additional expenditure from the government and $108 million from the county's Manukau DHB. The DHB advise us that they think it could provide up to 1,000 jobs. It's our expectation design work for the upgrade for Middlemore will start virtually immediately with the construction within 12 months. It's largely the renovation of theatres at Middlemore, but also the addition of 70 extra beds.
My point is to inevitably a siege like occurred leads to a call for police PR. How do you feel about that?
Look, I would be reluctant to see the New Zealand Police Service. I mean, it's obviously a legitimate debate, but in my opinion, the move to greater arms for the New Zealand Police Force, you know, brings with it substantial risks. I mean, firstly, international evidence shows that it is likely that in the event where the police force is armed, those weapons are often used against the police themselves. Secondly, because those weapons need to be loaded at all times, then the police are likely to put up a barrier, if you like. If it's a psychological barrier, they need to treat every person coming up to them with a higher degree of caution. And that's likely to create a greater barrier between our police force and the New Zealand public. There are a number of other issues. When I spoke to the police commissioner about this issue on Saturday, he pointed out quite correctly that there's now been three police officers that lost their lives in the last 12 months. I can't speak about the situation with Len Snee. It's too early to understand whether it would have helped in that instance. But in the other two, the arming of the police would not have saved those police officers.
So is there anything at all that
Well, this government supports tasers. You've seen our long-standing support, and I think if you look towards the budget, you're likely to see an announcement in the budget that will accelerate that rollout.
It sounds as though the commissioner we spoke to was somewhat sympathetic about arming his officers.
No, I don't think that would be a correct characterisation of the conversation.
So, sorry, just to clarify that, you're bringing forward the rollout of tasers and we'll provide that budget.
Well, I think if you look to the budget, you'll see an announcement.
Well, the rollout was planned for the coming year, so is it going to be sped up or is it just it's the normal track that would have been?
Well, wait and see the budget announcement.
What about gun control? Is that something because that's obviously an issue here, and after Omawana there were moves to limit military style within the U.S.
Look, it's something I think we can legitimately look at. At this stage, there wasn't a discussion at Cabinet about that, and I haven't seen any report from the police minister about that. I think there is, you know, genuine concern about the widespread retainment of arms on an unregistered basis by New Zealanders. But whether it's possible to control that situation, it's difficult. I mean, most of the people in that position are actually in breach of the law already. So what could be achieved, I'm not sure, but that's something I guess in the fullness of time, I would probably expect the police minister to have a look at that.
Just on the review announcement tomorrow, what is the National Party's position on this? We listened to Melissa Lee yesterday, about 30 minutes, so I couldn't work out where she stood on it. And today, when she said to me, you think that it's above ground for her. What is National Party's stand on this?
Well, you, when you see the Minister's announcement tomorrow, you'll understand completely where we stand. By Wednesday, you'll see the proposed route from the Transport Agency. The only comment I'd make is simply just don't jump to conclusions before you see the announcement on Wednesday.
Is this appropriate to do during the by-election? It's obviously going to be a big issue in Waitara.
Well, I think it's the opposite. I think it would be inappropriate for us not to make a statement before the by-election. I think it's important that we actually put out there our position so that people can't argue that we're trying to keep information from them.
So when you said don't jump to conclusions, you're saying that Melissa Lee's view may not be in line with what the government will announce tomorrow?
Yeah, I think you just need to wait and see what's announced on Wednesday. What I can tell you is that the issue of the water view has been something that the Minister and the agency has been considering for quite some time. The by-election's got no bearing on the decision that the Cabinet has made, and I think when you see that, it's completely self-explanatory.
So will we know after tomorrow's announcement and after Wednesday's announcement, yes or no, whether the overland or under tunnel route will proceed?
By Wednesday, yes, you will.
Did Melissa Lee know about these conversations?
I don't know whether she's aware of that. No,
she write today? I mean, what should New Zealanders...
Well, I didn't hear the interview, so look, I don't know.
She said her preferred option is above ground.
That may be her preferred option, but that's not necessarily what the Cabinet's recommended.
So what do we know by tomorrow? Do we know what the government's preferred option is, and by Wednesday what's going to happen?
What you know by Wednesday, by Tuesday, is the Cabinet's willingness to provide additional expenditure outside of the National Land Transport Fund, and the implications of that decision, and by Wednesday you'll see the preferred route as proposed by the Transport Agency.
Has this decision been brought forward, though, because the Transport Minister had indicated that it wouldn't be till later in the year?
No, it hasn't been brought forward.
What about public-private partnerships? Will it be addressed?
That'll all be addressed on Wednesday.
The Middlemore announcement, yep. Is that something that was in train and you brought forward, or where does it fit in the stimulus package?
I think it's just something, I don't know whether it's actually been brought forward. The Minister's been working on it for a while. I think it's just they managed to button it down. So it certainly fits in as part of the refurbishment of hospitals that the Minister's been talking about, mm-hmm. and the additional capital expenditure that we want to put in that area. So it certainly is going to be welcomed in terms of the number of jobs it will create, and obviously the improvements it will make to the health system. But I don't think it's been specifically brought forward as an announcement.
Based on what you've seen with the costings of the two options, is the tunnel affordable?
Look, it would be inappropriate for me to make those comments today. I think it would be better to wait till tomorrow.
What is the procedure this week for the legislation around the Auckland Super City proposal?
Yeah, there's two bills are going to be released either this afternoon or tomorrow morning. All interested parties can view those bills. And they are essentially the Local Government Auckland Council Bill, which will have its introduction and first readings. That's the bill that's going off to the Select Committee. And the second is the Local Government Auckland Reorganisational Bill, which is the one that we intend to pass through all stages.
So the first bill you referred to will go before Parliament tomorrow?
Well, I think both of them will be released either this afternoon or tomorrow morning at the very latest.
Because only one of them is going through under urgency. Correct?
That's right, the second one. Local Government Auckland Reorganisation Bill is the one that goes through, will go through all stages under urgency. But both of those will be in the public domain, as say, either late this afternoon or early tomorrow morning, so all parties can see those.
Has the Māori Party signalled which way it intends to vote?
It hasn't actually, and I think it'll probably, my guess is, be subject to a number of factors, and one of them will be, ultimately the issue of Māori representation.
Have you settled on the names for the transition agency, the five-member establishment board?
We haven't, and it wasn't brought to Cabinet today. There's some discussion still taking place. In broad principle, we've got a sense of the five names, but there's some debate. It's just on finalisation of one name.
Have you been following the UK expenses scandal, empty scandal, and why is the same sort of expenses in New Zealand kept secret?
Yeah, look, I've only been following it through the newspapers. I haven't received any formal advice on it. There are obviously some quite clear differences between the expenses available to members of parliament in the UK and those available to New Zealand members of parliament. From a ministerial point of view, those expenses actually are in the public domain here because ministerial services is subject to the Official Information Act. So it's really the expenses of members of parliament that aren't part of the executive that are in the private domain, I guess. And I guess that's ultimately a matter to take up with the speaker. I mean, you know, that's a legitimate debate that can be held about whether there should be greater exposure, but it's something that has to be taken up with the speaker because it affects all parties, not just the National Party.
Labor's been claiming that National is considering bringing interest back in some way or other.
I can categorically rule that. It's factually incorrect. There will be no interest applied to student loans.
Would there be any change apart from the ones that you outlined in the election campaign and the legislation to the scheme at all apart from interest?
No, there won't. There's no change.
Any update on the request of the US about sending troops to the US?
There isn't. At this point, there hasn't been a matter that's been debated.
Will you tell us if they do go?
I may tell you after they've gone if they do go, but not necessarily before they went. I think that's the sort of general sense of advice. But at this point, what I can tell you is there's been no decision made about whether we should send the SAS to Afghanistan. That hasn't been debated by Cabinet. But I know there's been some debate. I think Helen Clark didn't tell you the first time in the other rotations. I think she told you after they'd gone, but not before they'd gone. So.
Can I ask you about the tax review that was announced on Friday? Did that actually go before Cabinet? Is that the government commissioning an outside agency to really have a strategic review of the tax?
Yeah. I don't think it specifically as an individual item went to Cabinet, but it would have gone through because of the Cabinet Business Committee that it rolls up to, EGI probably. So, look, it's a review to look at ways that we can improve the tax system in New Zealand, but it's a wide-ranging review and I wouldn't read too much into it day one.
Do you have any concerns the fact the ACT Party doesn't seem to be attending, or very infrequently, the Special Select Committee reviewing the ETS? There's been some complaints that they weren't there last week in previous hearings, and they certainly weren't there this afternoon.
Oh, that's a matter that you need to take up with the ACT Party.
But it's part of the confidence and supply agreement they reached with you in the post-election negotiations. Yeah. What faith can the public have in the integrity of the Select Committee review?
Well, we've honoured our commitment to ensure that there was a Special Select Committee. That Select Committee is for the most part held in public. We're taking that process seriously. We're also having discussions with other parties, and we're working to try to resolve New Zealand's climate change responses. And in the end, it's for the ACT Party to determine whether they actually attend the Select Committee or not.
But this is, you know, a lot of trouble and expense to go to. Are you not disappointed that, having demanded it, they don't seem interested in turning up to hear what's been said?
Well, that's a matter for them to take up. I mean, I'm not disappointed that we're having that Select Committee process, because I think what you're seeing coming out of that, or what you will see come out of it, is reformed legislation, but improved legislation. And as you can see with Australia, it's a complex area. I think it's important that we try as much as we can to get synergies with Australia without necessarily tying ourselves to them if that's not the right course for New Zealand.
Are you satisfied, though, that it's going to be able to take what's happening in Australia into account? Because it's all very fluid at the moment, isn't it?
It's very fluid, but, I mean, there's still the advice I've had from Penny Wong's office in Australia is that they're still hopeful that legislation will be passed by the mid to latter part of this year, so that would still help New Zealand. But, you know, as you say, it's very flawed and it's a work in progress.
Are you still optimistic that you'll be meeting the self-imposed deadline of about September this year for that legislation?
That's my hope, but we need to, you know, work through the, you know, what comes out of the Select Committee. In the end, it's getting the right response that's important, but that's my hope. I took the matter to Cabinet today for a brief discussion, and I think what it's fair to say is that within certain parameters, we're not opposed to looking at some way of preserving either the House or parts of the House. I've had some initial discussions with Graham Dingle this morning. it's a little too early to tell. It's not a simple house to move, according to Graham. It's partly to do with the fact that it's on this concrete slab, and there's different bits to it. So, look, what I'd say is there's... I think the government would prefer, if we can, to retain at least parts of it. I think there's a cultural and heritage aspect of that which would be worthy of some government expenditure, but it would be quite small. I mean, less than $100,000, which is considerably less than the government setting up and buying property, which is what we were opposed to doing.
What can Māori expect from the budget?
Well, I think the same as everybody else. The fact that we are maintaining entitlements, that we're very heavily focused on ensuring that our debt position is under control, that we have an economic plan to take New Zealand out of the recession, and in certain areas, particularly education and health, I think you're going to look for some good outcomes there. Well, you have to wait and see on the day.
Do you have a chance with the Richard Lewis answers to
little
questions by
neighbour? I haven't yet, but, I mean, look, I'll go away at some point and take a look at that.
Do you think it's appropriate that he says that he doesn't have time to get them answers?
Well, I mean, obviously, sometimes ministers' offices are deluged by the sort of raft of questions that are on a fishing exercise, and you do have to make a judgement call about whether that's good use of officials' time. I mean, where it's possible, my office answers those questions, including the endless questions of insecure Labour members about how often I visit their electorate. They might be surprised I visit a bit more often than they think. They're obviously feeling very insecure, those ones that send me those questions. But look, at the end of the day, I'll take a look and just make sure he's acting fairly. Yeah.
When does the government expect to have made a hard and fast decision about Maori representation on the council?
Can't give you an exact date on that. I mean, I had discussions with Ngāti Whātua on Friday, anticipating seeing Tainui at some point.
So they won't be in one of the bills that's been introduced?
Well, at this stage, the government's laid out our position that we did some weeks ago, and that's what's effectively included in those two bills.
Will there be any more fiscal stimulus measures in the budget?
Well, yes, there is, because in effect there's a large new budget spending component. That itself is stimulatory, but if you're asking about specific programs or specific initiatives, then you'll just have to wait and see for the budget announcements.
Australia's looking at a budget deficit, I think, of about 70 billion. Does that make you feel a bit more relaxed about New Zealand's positions?
I don't know what's in the Australian budget, but I'd be interested to see what's in it tomorrow. I think what it shows you is how dramatic the impact has been on the Australian revenue side. Some of you criticised me at the start of the year for not having a big bang approach, but maybe when you see different things play out, you might argue that we've got a good response, and certainly an appropriate response.
Do you think the budget will avert a downgrade?
Yes.
Do you make that judgment on the basis of discussions with the rating agencies, or on what basis?
Well, I think the Minister of Finance has had some discussions with them, but at a general and high-level sense. But if I just look at our debt track and I compare that to the OECD debt track that I looked at for other countries for the 2012-2013 year, we have got a substantially lower debt exposure than most other countries. Now, if you go and have a look at, I went the other day and just had a look at the OECD website, I think by 2012-2013 they're predicting the US to be at 99.5% of GDP, Japan to be 220% of GDP, I think the UK was over 100% of GDP, New Zealand is substantially lower than those numbers. So if we get downgraded, I'd personally be very disappointed and very surprised.
How do you feel about the super fund's performance now? Does it, the latest clawback of its losses, make you think, demonstrate just how risky it can be jumping to conclusions too quickly?
Well, I wouldn't say we're jumping to conclusions. I mean, we're trying to deal with the situation where the government has been asked for a variety of reasons to borrow a lot of money. And one of the things we have to consider is whether it's appropriate, when we're borrowing so much for our operational expenditure, to continue to borrow in the short term for essentially a savings fund. Now, that's an issue that the government is considering, and you'll see our conclusion to that in the budget.
Are you saying that even if the fund had done well, given the circumstances, you still wouldn't borrow money to put into it?
No, I mean, if the government is in surplus, then that's a completely different set of circumstances. I mean, the risk, that all I'm simply saying is that we have got a large borrowing component at the moment. So the salient factor is not necessarily whether the fund is making money or not at the moment. The salient factor is how large the borrowing demands of the Crown are and whether we run any risk of crowding out the private sector.
So is the question you're addressing whether you stop contributing funds or whether you the level at which you contribute?
Well, you have to wait and see for the budget.
The argument was being run quite strongly by Mr. English and others in the last few months that it was the loss of $2 billion that was one of the motivating factors. Now you're saying because it's making money, that was never really the reason.
Well, it's not making money. It's lost $4 billion, not $5 billion. Let's put it in perspective. I'm just simply saying that there are a number of factors you have to consider.
Is the decision made? Is there no going back now?
The decision's made. The budget's buttoned down.
It hasn't lost taxpayers' money, though, has it? I mean, it's just lost.
Well, I don't know where the $4 billion came from if it wasn't taxpayers.
Well, that was based on the previous returns they had when they had good times.
Well, I don't know.
I think
that's pretty generous. I mean, I haven't looked at its...
annual return is 2%.
Put it this way, it is well below the cost of capital. In other words, if the Crown hadn't invested in there, it would have actually made money because it wouldn't have had to borrow, which it did in the past. So it's lost money.
So if the budget's buttoned down, you've made a decision on the 211, 212, or 210, 211 tax cuts?
Correct. We've made all those decisions.
What are they?
Why would I spoil your fun by making those announcements? I know you're looking forward to May 28th.
That's maybe what you've been saying, a delay rather than maybe a cut in money.
It's not long to wait. Not too many sleeps till May 28th.
Considering how
do you think there's any case at all for the police to withhold substantial amounts of their file and investigation of the leaking effect from Rachel's emails? I'm seeing the other interest in just to lay the cards on the table so that they can put paid to any of these conspiracy theories that might be diversions and
all. I haven't seen the file. I mean, my last... serious dialogue with the police about this matter was some years ago when I was Leader of the Opposition. And at that point, I when I first took over as Leader of the Opposition, I got a briefing from the police officers who were running the investigation. At the time, the point that they made to me was that there were a number of security weaknesses around the office of the Leader of the Opposition. So one was, yes, there was potential for external access into the computer system, but there wasn't the security locks on the doors that there are now. It's well known that Don Brash printed a lot of emails, all of those other factors. And what they concluded at that time, and I don't think it's changed, is that they just can't be sure how that information came to the public domain.
Do you think it's a good thing that this file that put together is...
Well, look, that's for them to determine. I think part of the reason for that, I can only assume the reason for that, is it's still technically an ongoing investigation. But, if they could solve it, that would be great.
Thank you.